שימו לב, שימו לב. ברוכים הבאים לקלאב דייב. פה יורד גשם רק שאנחנו אומרים. Your attention please. Welcome to Club Dave, where it only rains when we say so.
DLR in the house, D-Roll, large, extra large, fresh, right out of the toaster. Boom, like a tomahawk missile right in the Cheerios, worldwide. It's DavidLeeRoth.com, 866-313-3733. The phones are always open here. Roth Radio, we're talking from New York, Philly, Dallas, Morning Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach. Like the tide coming in. Here come Tuesday. Here come Wednesday. Look out for Thursday. All right. Got one more day till the weekend. Sasha, how you been, baby? I missed you this one.
I missed you so much, Dave.
I missed you desperately. Did you do anything interesting on the vacation, baby?
No. I sat and I missed you guys.
I did something. Really? I did some really good stuff. Animal, did you do anything good on the vacation here? Did you get involved? Did you go back to Los Angeles?
Yeah, I went back to Los Angeles, man, and kicked it with everybody. Had a surprise birthday party for the wife. Your sister showed up.
Oh, man. Really? Yeah. You saw Lisa?
Yeah, man, it was great, man. We had a good time at BB King's out of Universal Studios, man. It was alive, man. Yeah.
What about you, B Young? Did you have a good time this week?
Where, yeah, just stayed in town.
Where did you go? Were you here in town? You stayed here in New York City?
Yeah, I went and saw Spamalot, though, that Monty Python play.
How's Spamalot? Is that pretty good?
Totally hilarious.
Is that going to be a movie soon? Are we going to be seeing that up for the Oscars coming up pretty soon?
I think it started out as a movie and turned into a play. It was the Holy Grail, Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Sure. Yeah, now it was a movie, and now it's Broadway, and now it's going to be...
It's funnier than the movie.
They'll make it back into a movie sooner. It'll be a sample of a sample of a sample. Give it away, y'all. Yeah. Reese Witherspoon, what's the attraction? I gotta ask the question, because she's like really, really popular now. I understand she's making something like $30 million, something like that, for a picture coming up. And she just got, Best Actress, something for the I Walk the Line. I actually tried out for the part of the father for that. I told him, look, I don't feel comfortable being a psychotic, wife-beating alcoholic. I felt I might be typecast. My agent said you already are, baby. Reese is kind of like Jennifer Aniston. They have like they've got one gear, and the gear goes through just about any movie, right? It's this like Sly Stallone. You do the same thing. I'm Santa Claus. Now I'm Jesus. And it works beautifully. I don't know though. Jennifer doesn't seem quite as solid to me. Jennifer seems like she cries and runs a lot. Remember we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. In virtually every one of these movies, there's a woman crying. Did you see Walk the Line, Sasha? Did you actually see? And what did she? Did Reese spend a fair amount of time crying in the movie?
A fair amount, yeah.
Okay, a amount. What's a fair amount? Like half?
Like 40%.
40%. Give these guys a little bit more microphone when they talk up there. Did they fix the gear? And now there's no volume. Say hello there one time, Sasha. So go ahead.
Hello there one time.
There you go. See, Hutch? That's what your index finger is for after the weekend. Okay? But Reese, I wonder what's the appeal there, because
I don't know that that's spectacular acting. That, to me, is more behaving. That's her being Reese. And she's like in Pleasantville. That was a great picture. Okay? Same kind of character. Same whatever. And I didn't see Walk the Line. I kind of lived it. Watch me now. Now, is this one of these movies where she saves Johnny Cash? His life is a ruin. It's a shipwrecked bunch of debris that washes up on the unforgiving shores of dope addiction and life on the road of loneliness, an existential world of pain and suffering that is solved by Reese, I'm guessing, right? And because a lot of musicians go through this. I'm not going to name specifics, but I can't tell you how many musicians go, Dave, man, you want to know why I married her? Because, like, I met her backstage, and I was so sick. Don't you remember, dude? It was, like, the fourth day in a row that I hadn't been, like, to sleep. And I was, like, so sick. And you know what? Everybody ran from the room but her, man. And she lifted my head out of it, man, and said, you know what? I can help you, dude. And that's why I married her without a prenuptial, man. Oh, I'm not kidding. So this is a tradition in the music business here. Is there an actual scene where Reese holds Johnny Cash's head up out of the barf? Because that's an actual sequence. I'm certain that the barf may have been what glued their relationship together, or at least got it kicked off. No, you never know. You know what it could be. It could be a spaghetti sauce that holds a family together for 40 years. You know, granddad cooks it every Tuesday, second Tuesday of every month, and that's the spaghetti sauce that holds a family together. You know, and then there's the gift of song that held like the Osmonds together. You know, they would sing together, and everything would be, would be all right. Or at least that's what got them together. That's how Mom met Dad. That's how the brothers started, got famous and everything. Maybe it was barf for Johnny. You know, without that, his angel may not have alighted upon his soggy shoulder. And then you would never have I Walk the Line. Or my favorite song after you eat Indian food. What's that called? I'm sorry?
Burning Ring of Fire.
It's the Ring of Fire. Give it up, man. That's Brian Young you're hearing in the background there. He himself is consumed in a world of drug addiction and a life of solemn loneliness on the road. I actually met him face down in a puddle of barf. I was still contestable as to whether or not
barf, yeah.
That wasn't his barf. Well, the jury is still out, Sash. I mean, suspicion, thankfully, in this country no longer qualifies as, you know, a crime. Thank you. But I did try out for that part. I went as the father, and I got some Dixie Peach pomade, and I put it in my haircut, you know, just to get that look, you know, that the pompadour kind of a look like that. And, you know, coming from Indiana with a banjo on my knee, I kind of have a vague idea of how to, you know, beat my wife. Not that I have. But it's in the water, you know. I guess it's in the air. I don't know. You know, it's not genetic. But you know, you grow up in certain parts. Animal, you come from a part of the country where wife beating is it's not popular. It's not accepted. But if you were going to turn him up there.
He's up.
It was basically the other way around because most women carry those rolling pins. I've seen my mother smack my dad on the head with a rolling pin, and he had the knot on his head. The rest of his life, man.
He had a knot for the rest of his life?
Yes, sir, right here. My mom hit him with a rolling pin.
That's so funny. Was it like a big knot?
Put it this way, his nickname became Bubbles.
Because he had like a bubble on his head?
He had a bubble on his head, man.
That's amazing. Yeah. See, now that's a Johnny Cash kind of a story. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
You know, the word dope comes from Dutch. D-O-O-P. Dupe means dupe. Juice.
Oh,
yeah, man. And I think they started using that word, you know, it became a popular part of the American lexicon, because I'm convinced that one of the most popular parts of Johnny Cash was the part that wasn't on the record, right? He's a guy that we call backstory. Hey, tell your mama and your papa, sometimes good guys don't wear white. So Reese pulls him by his pompadour out of whatever. Do we actually see these scenes, or is that kind of glossed over and there's just a lot of a sharing of feelings? There's a lot of there's tears, obviously, you know, and there's a lot of running, I'm certain, you know, running from a room or running to a car to escape, or going on the road is a form of running if you actually do it right. Does the movie end up happy? I mean,
yes.
How do you qualify what Johnny's ended up like? Is that a happy ending? Is that a good ending? Whatever. Do they show Joaquin Phoenix as the old Johnny Cash, the one that Rick Rubin produced? What?
No. It ends up with, am I allowed to spoil the ending? It ends up with him proposing to June on stage, and that's it, pretty much.
He proposes to June on stage, and
says,
then,
"Will you marry me?" And the audience goes, "Marry him."
So love conquers all, huh?
Yes.
Because we never became aware of amphetamines until Johnny Cash. No, that was his calling card, him and Great Balls of Fire. The same routine. That was the same time frame and whatever. And that's what everybody did. That's why they got so much done. Did you ever wonder why the Beatles wrote so many hits between 1960 and 1964? They'll tell you. Turn up the music. I'll take a couple here. Okay, somebody's already got a problem with my Reese Witherspoon comment here. 5 and no jive, Roth Radio, you're on. Go ahead. Wake it up, brother, you're on. Jimmy, are you on the air? I think we lost him. Anyway, we can continue here. Are you a Reese Witherspoon fan there, Animal? Are you even aware of who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know.
No, I'm serious.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Not really, you know. I'm more like the hard kind of action type guy, you know.
Okay, is there an action figure? Is there an action picture that actually got selected by the Academy Awards that sticks out in your mind? Anything at all there?
No, they was all basically Brokeback Mountain type movies, man.
Yeah, well, you're talking about independent or whatever, right?
Yeah.
I got one of the best independent guys coming up here at 8 o'clock. His name's Kevin Wilmot, and he directed a thing called it's called Confederate States of America. I don't know if you're familiar with this. He created a kind of a documentary that employs all kinds of television commercials and all kinds of high school driver's ed films meets the news Times Sports Channel as if the Confederacy won the Civil War. And it continues on to present times, documenting the United States as if the Great South with the Confederate flag dominated the scenes and things reversed culturally here. It's a really good, good, good picture. I watched it last night for the second time here. I'm wondering, though, how come we're getting... how does Reese Witherspoon fit into independent? She doesn't strike me as an independent kind of actress at all. She strikes me as somebody's mom.
Yeah.
She strikes me as a Beverly Hills style mom there. And in fact, that's been some of the qualification about the role that she did for the Johnny Cash picture here. Did you pick up on that at all, Sash? Did you a little bit of
very
the?
Much so, yeah, she's very safe. Very like you never see her playing anything.
So, but as June Carter Cash, does she ever go like? Whatever.
Yeah, man.
Because that's her thing. She does what Gwyneth Paltrow does. She blinks her eyes really fast to communicate. She does derision really well. Here, watch. I'll do it. Whatever. Whatever. You start making sounds. You actually go beyond single syllables, and you work your way into just... I'm perfecting this. I think I can simplify my job here. I'll actually be to the point where I don't actually have to use any words at all. Does she actually do that on the screen? Because that's her most traditional effort, isn't it? Go ahead and pick up another phone call there, Hutch. 866-313-3733. Oscar's with me. You're on. Go ahead. Speak up.
Hey, Dave. What's up? It's me, Rob, from the Bronx.
What's up, Rob?
Hey, listen. I love your show. I'm glad you're back on the air.
Thank you so much. What did you...
My comment is... I watched it, and why didn't they cue the music when Reese Witherspoon was carrying on, but they cut Jack Nicholson off right after they gave the Best Music Award for Crash?
Okay, are you talking about the Best Music Award?
The Best Movie Award.
Okay, I have the Best Original Song. You got me a little bit confused here. You're saying that they let Reese Witherspoon go on and on and on
right,
and on?
Right, right, and then Jack came right after that. Right, she thanked everybody, and me and my wife are sitting there going, wait a minute, she's got to cue the husband in here somewhere.
Yeah.
She gets him in at the last minute. Jack comes on, gives the award for Crash, and 2 minutes, and not even 30 seconds later, they had cue the music.
Yeah, you know, probably what happened is she used up the entire margin for error there. She turned it into a margin for terror. I watched Kelly Clarkson do this like the third or fourth time she walked up on the Grammys or whenever she walks up there.
Again, she wore that out. It was like, you know what? You know, get off the stage.
You know what it is that it's like when you're standing with a bunch of people waiting to cross the street. It's Fifth Avenue. It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and everybody is in front of you. Okay, and you know, you're waiting, and one person decides, okay, I'm going to go first, and then they decide to walk real slow, and everybody else has to hang out in the back there. It's what I call a self-exalted view of one's contribution here.
And I also asked my wife, I think that's it. She peaked. That's it. Reese Witherspoon peaked out. This is the last straw.
Oh, you think so? Because they're offering her something like $30 million to make another appearance in something. I don't know what.
What more can she do? I mean, this is the blonde girl.
Well, you know, we never get tired of looking at those if they're if the hair and makeup is good enough. I'm telling you, you know, there are a number of pictures that aren't anywhere near what made it to the Oscars. For example, the movie Taxi. I've watched that movie at least 8-9 times just so I can watch the three Brazilian fashion models in the car.
You know, it's funny that Crash won. So I told my old lady, I said, man, that's a big upset. You know that?
That was a big upset. What do you think should have won?
The whole year they were bragging about Brokeback Mountain, and all the jokes were there and everything, and then when Crash went, everybody was like, what happened?
Well, you know, everybody's going to support whatever's the most shocking, especially in a day and age when we're all looking for the independent. I'm not even sure what that means anymore. The big word in amongst the agencies is edge. Nobody's really sure what that means, but we all know that we have to have it. You got to have it on the show. You got to have it in the movie. There's got to be edge to the haircut. There's got to be edge to the advertisement, etc. And I think you got a lot of people my age who grew up with the revisionist kind of thing in the 60s and the 70s. People were taking a lot of chances. So you get guys like Clooney, who's about my generation and stuff, and he's taking a lot of chances. Whether you like or dislike the work, he's taking chances. What my Uncle Manny says, he went deep. He's playing games even with his career at a point, because if one of these movies bombs hard, he's not going to have another knocking at his door real soon. So you see people taking chances, and sometimes they just reach for the easy shock. I don't know that Ang Lee was doing that with Brokeback Mountain, but all of the comedians see it as the easiest thing. It's way easier to make fun of Brokeback Mountain than it is Syriana. It's way easier to understand the movie, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure that one out, you know that?
There's also, you know, a balance here in that you've got a lot of biopics, okay?
Yeah, and
I'm wondering if that, what do you think? Is it more difficult or easier for somebody to be another person? What do you think?
I think it's easier to be another person because they always do that. What is it? They go into acting and they like disappear for like 6 months and then they went and worked with these people, or they, you know, they ate their food or they slept with them or they whatever they did. And then they pick up their habits, because I was just reading something.
You make it sound more like CIA Special Forces.
Yeah,
this is good.
Isn't it true that Joaquin Phoenix himself literally told his agent, listen, after Cash, I'm not working for another year? Who has that kind of, that kind of pull?
Very few people.
Very few people. And this is a guy that did Signs and Mel Gibson. And, you know, you're going, dude, you know, this is a guy that you're sitting there going, literally told his agent, I need a year off. Now, did he really mold into this character that it took him that long?
No, but it's a great story. Let me ask you something, my friend. I detect an accent, a cool sounding accent. Where are you from?
I'm from the Bronx, originally.
You're originally from the Bronx?
Yes, I am. And I live in Jersey, and I work for the post office.
You belong in pictures yourself, man. You got a good sound. Give us a call again sometime, because I have absolutely no poll, and we got to go to the commercials!
Radio Roth, la première chose du matin. Télé Dave, rien d'autre que du yeah. Roth Radio, first thing in the morning. Dave TV, nothing but yeah.
want to say that Johnny Cash and June Carter had a wonderful tradition of honoring other artists and musicians and singers, and I really feel that tradition tonight. It is very important, and I really feel it. So I want to thank the Academy for this incredible honor.
Yeah, that's right, man. Play it, be young, be bad. Get it again. Get it again. Get it again. That ring of fire. That I walk the line. There ain't no boy named Sue.
Those are all the Johnny Cash songs that I know. That's the only material that I know here. Roth Radio, maybe you know it too. New York, Philly, Dallas, everywhere. 866-313-3733. I was talking earlier about biopics. If that's easier, is that easier for an actor or an actress to do? Because maybe you have a presupposition, an idea already of how that person is perceived. You're going to play to that to some degree, unless you are so completely adventurous that you're going to defy any expectation. I think that's what Brokeback did, okay? It defied any expectation. You don't see those two. You don't see the word gay and cowboy in the same sentence, much less the same tent, usually, right? But when you have Capote, okay, and you play it a little closer to reality of what that individual was really like, well, you have film, you have tape, you have television, you have all kinds of photography that an individual would use as research, okay? And I'm wondering if that's more difficult. I am not an actor, although I am about to have I don't know if you were here, Sasha, yeah. But I'm about to begin my film career, actually. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. I interviewed Lloyd Kaufman, world famous owner, operator, director, producer of Troma Films. Perhaps you're familiar with the Toxic Avenger.
Sure.
Well, that's the company I'm keeping now, sweetheart. And I'm not an actor. I'm in broadcasting now, and I'm going to be using my voice here, and I'm going to be the narrator in the upcoming blockbuster smash hit. Turn off the sound there, Hutch. Poultrygeist. How did you like the way I said that?
I loved it. You're cut out for this.
I'm kind of like, let me do it again. Let me do that. Poultrygeist.
Beautiful.
Do you feel that? You get like bumps?
I feel it.
Well, you have like chicken skin. I can see it popping up on your arms when I talk like that to you. I think I have a future at this. I could be a narrator here. I also have number six here who wants to know, well, let's let him ask the question. Darryl, you're on Roth Radio. Go ahead, friend.
How's it going, Diamond D?
It's going great.
I was always wondering, man, you're such an animated character. No, I mean, it's in a good way. But, you know, it would be curious to who could play you, you know, if there was a movie done about Van Halen, Diamond Dave.
Well, that's easy. Animal. I think that was a trick question. The answer is only so obvious to me. Animal, would you play me in? Could you play the part of David Lee Roth, Animal? Would you be able to do that?
Without a doubt, I think I could do a good David Lee Roth, man. I got your moves down, I think.
You do, actually. I've seen you do the imitation. Yeah. But can you do the voice? Here, can turn the track down there a little bit. Go ahead and do
your voice, man.
Try and do my voice. Say the Pledge of Allegiance in my voice. Go ahead. You're on.
The Pledge and Allegiance of the United States of America. This is Diamond Dave trying to imitate Animal. Something of that nature.
Guys, this is Animal's house. We just work here. Okay.
Did I do pretty good?
I think that was excellent.
All right.
Cool. I feel that you got in touch with my black rage.
Yeah.
Better than any rhythm section could have ever, ever possibly supported that presentation. You know, you're talking to a million people here.
And Sasha just patted me on the back with that, too.
Look at Sasha. Now her other arm is bursting into little... Her little legs get bumps when Animal thumps. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733 for at least the remainder of this show. We have great guests coming up. We're talking about independent film. We're talking about film in general here. But Kevin Wilmot, who is the writer-director of Confederate States of America. That's the IFC film. And I got a copy of it. Not from the usual little Korean lady at the burger stop across from where I live. This one costs more than $5. And I watched it twice. Amazing, amazing picture. I'm not even sure how you want to describe something like that, so we're going to have him on. He's coming up in, he's going to be on at 8 o'clock. Don't forget also, Sibelia Vargas, who's the entertainment reporter for CNN. She wants to talk about the Oscars as well. I want to talk about the name. Where do all these women come from that have something that's like Otisha Rodriguez? where do you run into a name like Thais Delemont? The parentage of this has got to be amazing. You know, I know daddy was stationed in Thailand or something here. I don't know what Sibelia Vargas. That sounds Spanish to me. I wonder what her take is going to be on this. You know, one out of five people in the United States are either from another place out of the United States, or your parents are, okay? I wonder how that affects what's going on the movie screen. If she's going to have a different take, if she's going to agree, or she thinks she's a Reese Witherspoon fan. I don't know, maybe she's pissed that Celia Cruz, or whatever her name is. Who's the one who was squeezing
Penelope?
What's it? Yeah, Penelope Cruz. Okay, Celia Cruz died, right?
Yeah, a little while ago.
Okay, but I had nothing to do with it.
Allegedly.
But Penelope actually was a little bit upset that Reese Witherspoon got the nod, they call it. See, in our business, the nod is something that ruins a band, man.
Whoa, dude!
The nod is what you wind up on after you lose for the third time in a row here. Anyhow, we also got Elizabeth Haight is coming up at 9 o'clock, and she is our post-relationship columnist. She's going to be calling in. She's coming in, actually. We're going to be talking about obsessive love, same kind that Johnny Cash had, right? Would you say that his love for her was obsessive?
Yeah, a little bit obsessive.
I'd say that everything Johnny did was obsessive. Come on, all the way up until the moment he gacked. He was making records and stuff with Rick Rubin. You know, he was a busy guy. Whatever he did the hell out of it. Give me number 8 here. Chris, you're on Roth Radio, D-Roll Large. Go.
Yeah, hello. You were talking about Reese Witherspoon doing safe movies?
Yeah.
I don't know if you consider this safe or not. Maybe it is. She did a movie one time called Freeway.
I'm not familiar with it. Explain what it is.
She played a juvenile delinquent who was chased by a homicidal pedophile.
Okay, and what are you saying? That she's not afraid of taking a chance? That she's not afraid of
a... The movie was not a terribly safe one.
Okay, how long ago was this, Chris? How long ago was this picture?
98 or 9 or something.
Okay, and do you envision that she's going to take a chance again? Because some people do.
I have no idea, man.
You know, I've seen some characters like Brittany Murphy, who you would think was going right to Pippi Longstocking world, and she'll take a left-hand turn and do that methamphetamine addict movie. I hate to boil these down into one sentence, like People Magazine. It was Spun with John Leguizamo and a whole bunch of other folks there, you know, Mickey Rourke and so forth. It was a big left-hand turn, or even Sin City. You know, again, they're making they're taking dangerous turns with their career, you know, in a world that's controlled by sponsors and endorsements and so forth. If you put yourself a little too far to the left, you could, you know, they consider it porno almost, but then you're back in the mainstream again.
Yeah, but look at it this way, man. Who's that chick who was in The Princess Diaries?
The Princess Diaries. I don't know. Anyways, what's your theory?
She just did a movie where she was nude. A lot of it.
Well, she was nude always. She just was wearing clothes. Is that still a thing where that's now a break point where you work your way up and then you show a bosom and now you're in line for more credibility or you
demonstrate?
I'm sorry?
I said she's a pretty young girl.
How old is young?
I don't know.
Because, you know, when Brooke Shields did Pretty Baby, I think she was like 14. It was the first nude.
Yeah, but look at her mother.
Look at whose mother?
Brooke Shields' mother.
Brooke Shields' mother. I've never seen her nude.
No. Just the idea of...
No, is correct. You're saying that was a stage mom like Gypsy Rose Lee who forced her daughter into some form of nudity here?
Daughter's clothes off. Go right ahead.
And are you saying that that's a negative, that she shouldn't have done it? Because it triggered a really great career, and she performed with some great actresses in that picture, like Susan Sarandon. You're saying that that was a wrong move for the kid to do?
I really have no idea. It's the idea of what do you have your kids do. She also worked with David Carradine.
and David Carradine and who? I'm sorry, we're bouncing around, but this is the right show for that. We're back to Reese Witherspoon, or are we?
No, we were talking about Pretty Baby.
Okay.
Wasn't I pretty? David Carradine in that?
Yes, he was. He played the part of the photographer who was a pedophile. I'm superimposing my own lust on this, but no, he played the part of a pedophile. He was transfixed by this kid, okay? It was like the movie Candy or whatever. And so what I'm asking is, does it become necessary for an actress to show the flesh before she's completely accepted? Does she have to demonstrate to the world that she... I'm sorry?
I prefer it.
Well, then that's the whole point of the call after all, isn't it? Thanks, Chris. 866-313-3733. What do you think, Sash? Is a woman going to be accepted fully if she never does a nude scene? Because we always talk about Meryl Streep. We always talk about Glenn Close. These are great, great actresses. I don't know if they've done nude scenes, but virtually everybody else has or will at some point. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree. I think that now that Reese Witherspoon won the Oscar, that now she can do a nude scene. Now it won't be like too taboo. I think that when people see it, it'll be more accepted.
Well, maybe now that she's demonstrated that she's an actress to a greater degree, we're going to be more accepting of cellulite, I think.
David Lee Roth. Welcome to David Lee Roth. First thing in the morning. Roth, 6 a.m. Very consistent.
Pody was a groundbreaking film that broke taboos, that showed America not all gay people are virile cowboys.
I got it.
Anyway, Roth Radio, New York, Philly, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, 866-313-3733. Give me the first one on the line there, Bubs. Roth Radio, you're on.
Okay.
Jim, what's cooking?
Hey, how you doing, Ed?
Go ahead.
I was just, Dave, actually, this is my second interaction with you. I don't know if you remember me or not, but I was at the Spectrum in 1984 when you guys filmed Pan.
You were the one doing the peace sign. Go ahead, Jim. What's on your mind this morning?
I was wearing a flannel shirt. That's it. You were talking about the nudity with the actresses and all that kind of stuff. And I think that they have an unfair advantage over actors because they can kind of pop that at any time in their career. I mean, a lot of them do it in the beginning, I mean, just to get their name out there and stuff. But I think it's funny that a lot of them also do it, like in the swan song era of their career, like to jumpstart themselves or something like that. You know, they always end up showing up in Playboy or something like that. I think it's funny.
Well, it's almost a guilty pleasure after a point, because I remember when Marianne from Gilligan's Island, I think it was Marianne, it was one of them, either Ginger or Marianne, was doing a tour doing the vagina monologues. And I almost went to see it simply because I wanted to see the girl from Gilligan's Island talking about her vagina for an hour and a half. I just wanted to, but I never quite made it. I was on tour, and it was in Chicago, actually. So I understand the guilt pleasure of this, okay? I do think there's a break point, though. There's a limit to when it's attractive and when it's just being a part of reality here. Do you think it is still that much excitement for the American public when somebody shows their little boob? Honestly.
I don't like looking at it, but I'm just saying it's funny to me. It's almost like an act of desperation sometimes that these, you know, people like Tia Carrera, like that. She's like a B-list actress, and like, you know, you haven't heard from her in a long time, and all of a sudden, boom, she's in Playboy. It's like her last grasp at something like that.
Is she recently in Playboy? Because I just saw her making excuses about her weight during the celebrity dance show. This was about 4 weeks ago. Are you saying that she was in Playboy recently?
I guess it's been the last 2 years or something like that.
Okay, because I just saw her on the celebrity dance show, and she right. and she wasn't looking too good. And she had gained like about 30 pounds and said that she used dancing instead of exercise to keep her weight down. I would be fascinated to see her naked.
Oh, I didn't complain. It's out there somewhere. Man. But the other thing I like is like with all the reality shows, I watch them too because it's so unreal. I don't know. I'm one of the people that yells at the TV a lot, I guess.
Do you say nice things when you yell at the TV?
It depends. Sometimes. It depends on my mood or, you know, what number of beer I'm on, I suppose. But like Apprentice, like last week, I think they fired like a pretty hot-looking girl. And, you know, I mean, it was the first episode of the new season. And I would be willing to bet that within 6 months we will be seeing her naked. I mean, it's where they go. It's what they do. You know, it's like, okay, look at me now.
Okay, so you say that you can pretty much predict is who's going to show up naked.
Well, to a point, but it doesn't always work out for me.
Would you want to see Omarosa Manigault Starworth naked?
You know, I don't think I would mind. She's not, it depends. She's not a bad-looking woman, you know, she wouldn't be talking if you were just looking at the picture.
Okay, well, while we're on the subject, you brought it up here. How about Nancy Grace? Would you like to see Nancy Grace naked?
No, the girl from Court TV.
Yeah.
No, no. That other blonde girl, I would. Lisa Bloom.
Well, this is good stuff because a lot of times, just when I'm looking at people watching or whatever, I'm thinking about what she looks like naked. Let's just go through the list here. How about the girl from CNN, Sybilla Vargas? Would you like to see her naked?
Yes. Certainly.
What about the kiddie stars? Do you want to see Lindsay Lohan naked?
I thought she just did that last weekend, didn't she? Did she have a wardrobe malfunction or something?
She had some kind of malfunction, but I think it was generalized or anything. Thanks for calling.
All right, man. Have a good day, Dave.
866-313-3733. Who else would we like to see naked? Think about this. This could be good stuff. But who are you thinking of, Edible?
Since you mentioned CNN, what's her name? Kristalyn Amanpour? Oh. Her voice drives me crazy, Dave. I can be in the kitchen and hear her.
Stop the music.
I would just run.
Kristalyn Amanpour. You want to see her naked.
Man, her voice drives me crazy, Dave. I know she kind of, you know, I like older women anyway. You know,
she doesn't look older, but I'm surprised that you would pick that one gal out of all these people and
you
everything.
Ever listen to her voice, man? Man, her voice drives me crazy, man. Just listen at her voice. Don't listen to what she's saying. Just listen at a voice, man.
Yeah, but why would you pick a female war correspondent who she's a woman of character and substance and everything.
Like she's like the G.I. Joe type woman, man. You know, tough, rugged. She goes into dangerous places.
Tough as her toughest customer, huh?
You know it, man.
Well, we're burrowing deep into Animal's House this morning, aren't we?
It's Ladies' Choice. Ladies' Choice.
Okay, Reese in a nude scene. I can't even say it three times, but I would watch it. Go ahead. Roth Radio, you're on, friend. Talk to me, Jack. Are you there? Did we just lose him? Put the track back on here. Madison, Wisconsin's emailing us. Hamburg, Germany. Tampa, Florida. Vancouver, Canada. Las Vegas, Ocean, New Jersey. Byron Bay, Australia. I don't know. Sash, who would you like to see naked?
I don't know, but... Talking about this, over the weekend I was watching Showgirls, and I grew up on Saved by the Bell, and I kind of always...
Stop right there. Showgirls. You're talking...
Showgirls. That's that movie with the chick from Saved by the Bell. She plays...
yeah, I know exactly who
and
you're talking
fully
about.
Nude. It was like rated NC-17, and it was super risky.
Elizabeth Barkley was her name, of
and
course.
And she's fully nude, like... Everything's out there, and I was very disappointed because I didn't like her body.
Well, you'd also the drapes didn't match the carpet either. No, once you see everything, any classic stripper will tell you that once you're completely naked, baby, you better keep moving because then there's no. Yeah, come on, it's like a Christmas tree without an ornament. You dig? It's like a car without a paint job. It's like an airplane without the wings. There's got to be some room for the imagination there, because when it's all right in front of you, there are very few perfect people. I mean, here in this room today. Seriously. I was watching on the TV set not long ago. There was a woman in her 60s. She looked amazing, and she was teaching the girls how to do burlesque up at the Club 66 or whatever it is in Washington, D.C. And that was one of her comments, is that you can use the G-string, you can use the shoes, you can use the feathers or whatever, but when you go completely naked, wow, you're on a short clock. No, I didn't mispronounce that. You're on a very short clock on the clubhouse wall because, hey, the monkey inside all of us goes, okay, I get it, forget it. So, there's that saying also that if there's a supermodel out there, I can show you a guy who after 90 days is bored with her naked body. Of course, like my mom said, with the right lighting, I could go far. Okay, Sarah, you're on Roth Radio. Talk to D-Ro.
Hey, D-Ro.
Boom. There's a voice that'll launch ships.
How are you?
What's cooking, baby? Talk to me.
Okay, we found out somebody we really want to see naked.
Who's that?
His name is David Lee Roth.
Get your mind out of my Speedos.
And that's what we want. That'll give us a good wake-up call.
I'll wake you up. Okay.
There you go.
Let me talk dirty to you, okay?
Please do.
I don't even have to use words when somebody has a character and a sense of humor like yours. Are you ready? I'm just going to count. First thing in the morning, here we go. Once. Twice. Ready for more? You want to see me naked? You've seen me naked.
Absolutely.
Come on. You know, if you were anywhere...
Yeah, it's called up close and personal.
If you were anywhere near the backstages between 1977 and 1993, mm-hmm. then I can pretty much guarantee that you saw some part of me naked.
Unfortunately, I only got to see you backstage at the Tower Theater once quite a few years back. And I got starstruck for the first time in my life. And
uh-oh.
I stood there saying, da-da-da.
So the poster made it from the wall to the ceiling. That's how you know, huh? I got the promotion here. What actor... Okay, sweetie, Sarah, tell us, what actor would you like to see naked out there? Do you even care? Do women care about seeing guys naked the way guys care about seeing women naked? Is it the exact same thing? Good syllable. Got me through the 80s.
You got me, man. I don't know. Too early for that.
No, seriously. Because when I look at great-looking girls on in the movies or whatever, I always think about what they feel look like naked. I'm looking at...
Oh, yeah, you always undress people with your eyes. Absolutely.
Okay, there you cut to the crash. Now, are you a typical Brad Pitt kind of fan? Or have you escalated to George Clooney level?
Yeah,
or?
George Clooney.
Yeah. Well, I'm judging by the tone because each kind of actor or actress now appeals to a certain kind of community. Mm-hmm. It's not just based on acting ability. If the person looks like you or looks like it's part of your neighborhood and that you could be seen with that person. Because, like, I would sleep with Courtney Love, but I just would never be seen with her.
I hear you. Well, let me tell you, you are my market. That's it. All my life, that was it. It was DLR. And I remember years ago, your sister Lisa got me an autographed picture. I'd come out to California, and you were out of town. So my mother's best friend at the time.
Okay, sweetie. Okay, it sounds like a great story. And we're going to listen to more of it right after this.
Take care.